Amen. What a blessing. Good evening. It's so good to be here. You have no idea how good it is for me to be here tonight. I was supposed to be here for the first time after the pandemic started this week, but unfortunately I had to come in December because of my Uncle Mike passing to glory. But I'm so glad I got to come here in December. Uncle Mike was Lydian's father figure. He was her heart father. And so I'm so glad I got to come. Sorry for that reason. But I'm so glad to know you'll be with him again in glory. And I just want to give a brief update. But I'm going to give more of an update as I give the message tonight. And I'm so glad the kids are here tonight. Hafa and Dunny, they're with their grandfather, the war, actually, because they're 3 hours ahead of us. My father was preaching tonight at our church, and he had all the kids stay in church, too. He says he's 80 years old. And he says he does better when the children are preaching. So he asked for all the children to please be in the auditorium and sit up front. But I'm glad to know the kids are always here on Sunday night. So it's so good to be here. Hafa is now 10 years old. Danielle is 7 years old. And the Lord willing, next time I come, I'll bring them with me. And they really had a good time last time they were here. And my father, I just said he's 80 years old. He is still preaching. He is teaching. I mentioned to a few people that he has 2 titanium rods in his back, but he broke those 2 titanium rods. Well, the reason he broke the 2 titanium rods, that he broke his back. So, I mean, what are 2 titanium rods for who broke his back already in the first place? But that's not stopping him. He's still teaching, preaching, driving, just bought a new car. So Mrs. King said he needs to stop doing that, but he's still doing that. My mother is preaching, and she's not preaching. She is playing the piano for us every Sunday morning. My dad's doing the preaching, and I do the preaching as well. And July 2019 is the last time we were here. And Pastor came in January of 2020, just a few months later, and it was such a joy to have Pastor down there. Miss Tori took her little camera. It takes the instant pictures, and she took one with Hafa and one with Dunny, and we still have those in their rooms. It's so fun. Sometimes we find those pictures and remember Miss Tori, and it was such a blessing having them with us. Thank you for sending Pastor down to Brazil. We're going to open our Bibles up in 1 John chapter 5. I'll give more of my testimony along with the message. You'll understand. But 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 through 5, I did not agree with Pastor, but we're both preaching on faith. He's just preaching through the book of Mark, and this is the passage the Lord placed on my heart. So in reverence to God's word, let's please stand. We're going to read just 2 verses, 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. And it says like this, 1 John chapter 5. Verses 4 and 5. It says like this. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Father, thank you so much for who you are, for our time together tonight. Please lead us and guide us into all truth, Father, for I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated. I said I'll give a testimony along with the sermon. No, Pastor was with us in January of that year. But right before Pastor went, when I was at Christmas time talking to him and Dad, we were talking about the future. And we were talking about my involvement with the Bible Society and the need of my needing to step back onto the board of directors. You see, 10 years ago, we were in a very, very hard situation because we never took officially come up and do deputation. We were here just for 8 months after we got married for 2 years. Always come and spend 1 or 2 months at a time. But we came to a position where we needed to make a decision, either to come to the USA and finish raising our support, or have the Bible Society help us. I was on the board, so I would have to step off the board. So we were praying, and this board decided to start helping us financially. And I told them, thank you very much, because my wife is pregnant. And they only found out until after they started helping us. And that, do you know how bad a situation it was? Uncle Mike used to say like this, you know that your situation is bad financially when you had to buy food on credit card. Well, that month we had to buy food on credit card. And right when we were at our very limit, the Bible Society came through and started helping us. That was a blessing. So when we needed them the most, they were there and they started helping us. But 10 years later, we had to make a decision because looking to the future, you know, my father's the president. And he said, Harold, you're going to need to come back on the board at some point. So we looked about 3 years from now. Might need to start raising more support so I could wean off the society. But come March, what happened in March of 2020? Did y'all forget? That's impossible. The pandemic hit. It hit here in the USA and it hit in Brazil as well. And all of a sudden, we found ourselves in a very dire situation. We had just brought Bibles, a lot of Bibles in. We had more Bibles coming in, and our cash was very low. And we realized that society could not continue helping us any longer. And so I had to face a decision. That decision that I had to take, 3 years from now, to take it right then in 3 weeks' time or less, just 1 week's time, I had to make the decision of my going ahead and coming back onto the board as the vice president, taking the helm as the captain, the pilot, I should say, of the ship, to take the society through that storm while taking what would be equivalent to a 40% drop in our income. I would be taking on more responsibility without being able to come to the USA and need to take that ship right through the middle of that storm. If you take one thing away from the sermon, I just want to be thank you. I was going home and I stopped at the grocery store, and a thought crossed my mind. What if the point comes where we will not be able to buy groceries? I had been through that, had to buy food on credit card. Understand this, children. God said that He will supply all of our needs, but He uses people. We look at Elijah. Elijah was facing a famine there in Israel. God took care of Elijah, but He used a widow to bake for him. So the thought crossed my mind, what if the point comes that we will not be able to buy groceries? But this sweet thought crossed my mind. And every time I go to buy groceries, this sweet thought comes through my mind. I said, no, that won't happen to me. That will not happen to us. For my home church will take care of us. You know what happened? I made a decision. Yes, I would step up to the helm. I would be the pilot to guide that ship through the storm. I would step up for the society when they needed the most. It was not a moment for me to abandon the boat and come raise support. I said, no, I will stay here. I will guide us through this. I will accept the responsibility of being the vice president, coming back on the board, knowing that as a board member, I cannot receive anything from the society. I will do that. I said yes to the board. I was actually saying yes to the Lord. You know what happened? Our church stepped up and they said, we're going to help you. We're going to give you an increased offering during this time while you raise more support. One more supporter stepped up and said, we're going to make up the difference. You know what I learned? That I am not above living by faith. Amen. You know, before the pandemic, that January you came down, Pastor, things were proving fine. 100% of the support, things were way over in China. But a thought crossed my mind that January, I am not above living by faith. We are not above living by faith. That is the first point here. When we look at verse number 5, it says like this. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? How are we saved? We are saved by grace through faith. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. We are saved the moment that we realize who we are, sinners. The moment that we realize who is Jesus Christ, Savior. And the moment that we, as that publican in the temple, beat his hand on his chest and said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. That moment that we recognize that we are sinners and we recognize that Jesus Christ is Savior and we ask him to save us, that is the moment that we are saved. I was 5 years old at Vacation Bible School when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And as the teacher was dealing with me, I had a very important question as a five-year-old kid. I said, will we speak English in heaven? As a four-year-old, I did not want to speak English. I would say to my mother, don't speak to me in English. Speak to me in Portuguese. I'm not an American. I'm a Brazilian. But when I was 5 years old, I saw a picture of my grandparents, Mamaw and Papaw. And I said to my mom, who are those? And she said, those are your grandparents. And unless you learn how to speak English, next year when you go to the States, you won't be able to speak to them. So as a five-year-old, I began learning English. But that was a very big concern to me when I was being dealt with, was in heaven, will we have to speak English? And they said, we'll all speak the same language. And I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. God does not have grandkids. God only has children. Are you a child of God? Is your name written in the book of life? How do you get your name written in the book of life? You need to ask. Please write my name in the book of life. Lord Jesus, please save me. We are saved by grace, but we need to continue living by faith. Come May of the pandemic, I was so fed up with the news. I could not stand to read or to hear anything of the news again. I was going to call my best friend, Dr. Wolf, there at Pensacola. You were just with him, Pastor. I was talking to Dr. Wolf last week, and he said, I told him I was going to be here, and he said, yeah, Pastor Gillett was just here. And so he's my best friend. I was his best man at his wedding. And we both interned at the same church. And he's the co-pastor there. So I was going to call Dr. Wolf and ask him for a good book for me to read. But then I remembered that the last time I was there, or one of the last times I was there, Pastor Manley, the pastor whom we both interned under, gave me a book entitled Faith is the Victory. And he said, Harold, this is the book that most impacted me in my ministry. And so I kept that book nearby. And so when I thought about calling Dr. Wolf, I said, he's going to tell me to read that book. I have it already. And so I went and I started reading Faith is the Victory. Buell Kazee, I hope I didn't slaughter his name, he's a pastor, and he put in writing that which I experienced in my life, but I had never read it and put it in writing so clearly. And that is comparing our Christian life to the children of Israel, and they're going out of Egypt, going through the desert, and then coming to the Jordan and crossing the Jordan. And so we see the children of Israel and their experience, what happened with their leaving Egypt, a clear illustration of salvation. Just you know, the kids to follow me. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It clearly illustrates, you know, the children of Israel and what there happened to them and our Christian life. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we clearly see the parallel here to our Christian life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse 1, it says like this. 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. So we see a clear parallel here of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, a picture of salvation. They're putting the blood on the doorposts, and the angel over, you know, going over, the passing over, and it, I heard one person say one side, the angel passed over not because of the people that were inside, but because of the blood that was on the doorposts. It was because of the blood that the angel passed over and did not come inside. And then you see the children of Israel leaving, going through the Red Sea, a clear illustration of baptism. We see here the elements of their eating and their drinking, a clear illustration of the elements. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper tonight. So we see in the children of Israel going through the Red Sea and the water they ate and the bread that they drank, a clear illustration of the Christian walk, of our elements that we follow, that we serve at the Lord's Supper. And so we have this clear illustration. But then we see the children of Israel coming to the right of the border to go into the promised land. And they sent the 10 spies. 10 were bad and 2 were good. But the children of Israel heard the 2 bad, and they did not obey God. And because of their sin of unbelief, they were left 40 years in that wilderness. You know the story. But then after 40 years, it came to the point of crossing the Jordan. Dr. Buell-Concey made a beautiful illustration of this in the book. Because, you see, when you come to the Jordan, it was different from the Red Sea. Crossing the Red Sea was very easy. What was behind them? He had an army behind them. What was before them? An open sea with dry ground. It was simple. Go. It's either go or get killed. So let's go. Salvation, it was very simple. It's either you trust in the Lord or you have hell. It's a very simple decision. And so it's go. And they went through by faith. And so we see the clear illustration. But when it comes to the Jordan, it's a little bit different. They came to an impossible situation. It was not the time when the river was low. The river banks were overflowing. It was not wide open for them to cross. And God said, cross. And so you see those men coming, holding the ark, but they had to get their feet wet. When they stepped by faith, then is that the waters opened up. You know, God brings us to impossible situations in our life. And he does that for a reason, to prove that he is God. He does that so that he must receive the glory. Do you face impossible situations in your life? We have a few impossible situations in our life right now. Pastor was down at our church. He saw our situation. Years ago, a family in my dad's church gave my dad's church some land for a church. When my dad saw the property, he said, "This is too small." He sold one of his cars and bought the property next door. They made a V, but they were right on an incline. When I went back to Brazil 21 years ago, I thought I was going to help my dad start a church there. But the Lord guided me to another location where a lady had been praying for 14 years for a church. After that church was established, then we came over here. And Pastor Sean Lundy, who worked as a team, he went to the neighborhood and he saw a house and he rented that house. And when I saw the picture of the house, there were a lot of trees there and stuff. I said, "Pastor, there are a lot of trees there." And he replied in all caps, you know what that means, "It will work," he was shouting. So we started services there. The very first service, there came a lady, Siva. And she said, "Do you know what this place used to be?" We said, "No." She said, "This used to be a spiritist center. They used to do animal sacrifices here." For one entire year, every Sunday, somebody come by and say, "You know, we were praying that a church would be started right here." Last Sunday, my mother said, a lady came for the first time. She said, "No, I was praying that a church would be started right here." The property was not good to build on, so they sold it. So we have about half of what we need to buy the house. Well, we have two problems. One, we only have half the money. And two, the owner of the house doesn't want to sell. You see, we pay rent. And the previous people that were there didn't pay the rent, so they're very happy to receive the rent. But we have an impossible situation. How are you going to buy that? I don't know. But what's impossible with men is possible with God. Amen? Let me put a little side note here. You know, we believe that all things are possible. Amen? I was studying for this message, and I was sitting 13 feet away from the trash can that had two cups of coffee in it, just a little space like this. And I thought, you know, it is possible for me to throw this little wad of paper and make that basket. But a little thought crossed my mind. That little thought made me break a sweat and throw that wad of paper about 200 times until I finally made that basket. And I've got pictures to prove it. Why did I do that? Why did I break a sweat and throw a thing about 200 times trying to make the basket? Because when I said, I believe it's possible for me to make that basket, a little thought crossed my mind. And it said, but it's not probable. Oh, yes, all things are possible. And a little word comes through our minds and said, but it's not probable. What's the probability of a professional fisherman spending all night fishing and then at the word of one man, throw the net on the other side of the boat and bring it in full of fishes? What's the probability of a man stepping out in the middle of the storm on the sea and walking on that water? What's the probability? You see, I told my wife, I said, faith is leaving the possibility and the probability to God. I don't know how it's going to come, but we're trusting the Lord. You know what he did during the pandemic? They tried to close us down, didn't they, Pastor? They closed us down there too. So for 3 months, we were closed doing only Zoom. And then we came back, and I was so happy. I jumped, I hit my heels together. Dunny said, Dad, don't do that again. I was so happy. We had repeat services, no, for three services. We got the garage, the house. We did a reforma. We remodeled it. We made it into a beautiful little auditorium. Well, we had repeat services. They only had 30% of us in that little auditorium. So we had the same service three times on Sunday. But then we were given a tent. And so that area over here by the used to be the parking lot, we covered it with cement. And we needed to receive the tent. We said, we're going to have this up by September 1st. And so Pastor Sean Lundy was bringing the tent from the USA. We had everything ready. We worked hard. We had the cement ready. On Sunday was going to be the inauguration. On Wednesday, Pastor Sean sent a message and said, I'm going to put this tent on the airplane to take with me. He got to the airport. They said, well, you can take just the tent part, but not the metal frame. We started praying. I said, no, that sounds just like Pharaoh. Let the men go, but the women stay here and the cattle. I said, let's pray. I said, we need the entire tent, not just the plastic part. By God's grace, he got on that plane. By God's grace, on Sunday morning, we were in the tent. What happened? Our seating capacity doubled. So that's what God did with the Bible, with the church during the pandemic. Our seating capacity doubled. And so they try to shut us down. They did for a little bit, but now we can receive twice as many people. I've got to go ahead and say what the Lord did at the Bible Society, too. You know, we had bookstores closed, churches closed. Book distributors were actually going bankrupt. We thought it was going to be a wreck. We thought it was going to be, we didn't know what to expect. But here's what God did. It was a record year for us in Bible distribution. That year, we distributed 1.7 million complete copies of the Word of God. There was a 30% increase in people looking for the things of God on the internet. Through the Bible app users, we had 4.5 million users reading the Bible on the Bible app. That's what God does. But we go back to our illustration. Here we are at the Jordan. In our Christian life, it comes to a point where the sea or the river is overflowing. We are at an impossible situation in our lives. For us to grow, it comes to a point where we have to step out by faith. I remember as an 18-year-old being at my sister Ruth's house. their church loved the Word, loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And that Christmas, it really hit me that I was trying to live the Christian life in my own strength, that I was trusting myself. I had this mentality, you know, if I do something wrong, my dad doesn't have to go to prison for me. I'll go to prison. I realized I was trying to live the Christian life in my own strength. And I realized that I had things that I was, that was between me and the Lord. And I remember there in the shower at my sister's house in Mississippi, I prayed. I remember confessing my sins. And I remember just putting my trust in Lord Jesus. I was saved when I was 5 years old. But it was that Christmas when I stepped out of the shower and I said, Lord, I'm trying to live this Christian life in my own strength and I can't do it. Please do it through me. I pulled out the white flag and I said, Lord, I give up. I can't do it in my strength. Please do it through me. My brother-in-law Cliff discipled me that Christmas. And for the first time, I began reading the Word of God for myself. I began meditating on God's Word. I began memorizing God's Word. I began totally depending upon the Lord. I learned what it is to walk in the Spirit, and that is to trust totally, wholly in the Lord Jesus Christ. My life changed. My grades got better. It was what the Lord did in my life was through the Word of God. And it was so neat because that is what's the crossing through the Jordan for Christian life. It's stepping out by faith in God's Word. Trusting solely in the Lord Jesus. Seeking to live His Word. Talked about the author Buchel Z. He came to he was on staff of a large church. But then he left. He had his wife and two small children. He doesn't talk about all these details in his book, but Pastor Manley tells it in the preface. He was now the pastor of a small church with two small boys, and his wife left him. Here he was now, needing to raise two small boys, his church struggling, and he was at the bottom of the barrel. And he said, like the Lord asking to him, said, Buell, with all of this, do you still believe? And he said, yes, Lord, I still believe. And he said, after the Lord clearly said within Buell, you have the victory, for faith is the victory. You know, this world, and many churches, they have faith as a means to the victory. But in our passage, it says, going back there to 1 John, what does it say? 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. It says, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith is the victory. It is not a means to the victory. Faith is the victory. Look at this world. This world says, you know, if you're successful, it's if you have money, health, and all of that. Luke 16 talks about the rich man. He was, according to this world standard, he was successful. According to this world, he was a victor. And what about the Lazarus? He had nothing. He was a beggar. According to this world, he was a loser. But what was the one thing that the rich man did not have that Lazarus had? Help me now. What was the one thing that they had? That's weak. Come on. What was the one thing that the rich man did not have that Lazarus had? It starts with F. I'll give you a hint. It starts with F and it ends with eighth. Faith. I sat with a man. We print the Bibles. He was the owner of the factory that does the Bible covers. He has his own factory. He knew what to say in a factory in China. He's not hurting for money. He was a rich man. Not rich, not only in beans. He had five children. You know what he did for his vacation was go to Cambodia. I thought he was going to go to Cambodia as a missionary. He went there on his vacation to change the roof of an orphanage. He's rich in every sense of the word. Rich in good works, rich in family, rich in money. He's just a rich man overall. And I had dinner with this man. and I witnessed to him. He looked at me and he said, no, Harold, I deal with Jews, with Muslims, with Jehovah's Witnesses. No, I deal with every which sort of people. He said, no, Harold, it really doesn't matter what you believe in. The next morning, as I was taking a shower, I thought of the rich man, I thought of Lazarus, and I cried because I had just had supper with the man. I was just like the rich man in Luke 16. I still pray for him. He avoids me because he knows I'm going to witness to him. Lazarus had nothing except faith, and he had it all. Faith is the victory. It's not the victory. It's not the house. It's not the job. It's not the family. It's not the works. It's faith. Faith is the victory. We go on and on of examples that faith is the victory. So I want to bring you tonight to realize that we are not above living by faith. We are saved by faith, but we need to continue living by faith, for without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so we face situations of health, faith situations of loss. It's not the healing that's going to bring peace. It's not giving back that's going to bring peace. It's faith. Faith where? Beul Kazi, to conclude, he put it this way. Faith is believing when you have nothing else to believe in other than the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need to step out by faith in the Word of God. Pastor put it very plain this morning. There's a big difference between faith and believing. He put it quite this way, but I'll put it in my words, Pastor. Faith, biblical faith, is believing in God's Word. Simply believing is believing on something because somebody said it, and you can believe the wrong person. You can put your faith in the wrong person. The pastor put it very plain this morning. It was beautiful. Our focus needs to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. For verse 5 says, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? He is the incarnate Word. And he gave us the written Word so that we might know him. We need to accept him as our Savior. And after we do, we need to continue living by faith in his Word. We need to realize that faith is the victory. For this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Let's say it together. Let's read verse 4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And if this part, let's say it together. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Father, thank you so much for who you are. Please work for you in our hearts now, for I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus.